sought a store with a friend.
He thought that they were crazy and we were not going to let our children stay overnight. So the two moms came out and sat with them.
And that's when the early bird bug bit. She's been doing it ever since, hoping to snag an Apple iMac next week. Pam Puso, Fox News Radio.
Harry Potter is drawing crazed muggles, that would be humans, to the movies in droves. The next-to-last Harry Potter movie, The Deathly Hallows Part 1, raked in $61.2 million on its opening day yesterday. That is the fifth biggest open for a movie ever. Muggles and wizards alike won't have to wait long for the final Harry Potter, The Deathly Hallows Part 2, set for July. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here. Partly cloudy with showers this afternoon and a high of 57 degrees. The south-southwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight we got an 80% chance of rain. Probably get about a half inch of rain. Possible thunderstorms, low of 42. The winds will be west-southwest 10 to 20 miles per hour. Sunday we're going to have some rain and a high of 58 with the west winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Out there in the Monterey Bay, there's going to be a small craft advisory in effect from this evening through Sunday morning. And the southwest winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves 1 to 3 feet, northwest swell 4 to 6 feet at 12 seconds, shifting to the west at 12 seconds in the afternoon. Tonight out there, the southwest winds 15 to 25 knots, wind waves 3 to 5 feet, northwest swell 6 to 8 feet at 12 seconds. And on Sunday, the west winds 15 to 25 knots, decreasing to 10 to 15 in the afternoon. Wind waves 3 to 4 feet, northwest swell 6 to 8 feet at 12 seconds. And for your KSCO King of the Hill traffic update, I have one thing to report here. There was a traffic collision, and this is at Vieira Canyon Road, just east of US 101. And there, it was a blue Ford versus a white Ford pickup. So CHP is on their way. If you see something out there, give me a call, 475-1080, and I will report it. And let's see here for current temperatures. Salinas is at 50 degrees, 48 degrees in Watsonville, 50 in Monterey, and we're at 52 here in Santa Cruz right outside KSCO Studios. Official time is 10:07 and 8 seconds on this Saturday, November 20th. Up next, we've got the Saturday special. MZ's in the house. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
It's so rare that I'm in the house, huh?
I know.
Not really. No, I'm here more often than I'm at KSCO North, right? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, actually, lately. Yep.
Yeah. But you crushed me earlier today, Nikki, in that telephone conversation that we had.
Oh, I know. It's a bummer.
Oh, it was so... It's
only a handful of us that like karaoke, apparently.
And I thought that everybody... Well, you know what? If I thought that for our KSCO holiday party, the entertainment that would be great would be karaoke that Nikki and I like to do on the radio. And, of course, the listeners tune out when they hear me. And I've taken the listeners seriously
advice
and I haven't done it too much on the radio because we want to increase our audience. We don't want to decrease the size of the audience. So
you wanted to...
So I thought we would do it...
Sing your little heart out at your Christmas party.
At the holiday party where we have a captive audience of people from the radio station.
I think it's more like prisoners.
And you took the liberty to put it out.
I did,
here at the station.
Yeah.
And no one liked the idea except you and me.
Well, there might have been a couple other people, but most people just want to dance.
Okay.
Which is cool, too.
Okay. Well, then we'll just have to take it to the audience. No, obviously, we're not going to jam anything down the throats of the people who attend the holiday party. That wouldn't be nice. Instead, let's jam karaoke down the ears of our listeners. By
there
having
you go.
A
That's
special
a good way.
Karaoke show. We've talked about that before, but we've never done anything about it, right?
Right, that's true.
Don't you think we
do? Your songs that you want to do?
No, but you can give me a list of what you...
Oh, can I?
Yeah.
Of what I think?
Of what you think I could do a good job.
Okay.
For and then just do it on the radio, and we just have a not too popular radio time, you know, mm-hmm. Sunday night or something opposite 60 Minutes or, you know, something like that, right? Where it wouldn't hurt the radio station too much, like it would if we were to do a Saturday karaoke special. That would kill the radio station, right? That would be the end of it.
There might be a possibility.
If I participated, you're pretty damn good.
Well,
really.
I've practiced.
Yeah. So, in any case, we'll just sort of put that out. And if anybody thinks it's a good idea to have a karaoke show on KSCO, let us know during the program today, which will actually be tackling a very serious subject. And so why don't we officially start the show here, okay?
Morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today you know on KSCO Radio.
All right, we're happy you have decided to join us for the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. It's Saturday, November 20th. 2010, and we're going to be on the air right up until 12 noon today. As always, it's an audience participation interview program, and you are all invited to participate within the bounds and limits of good taste. So do stay with us right up until noon.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Did you know that Santa Cruz is a sanctuary city, which means city leaders want no part of any meddling by the federal government when it comes to issues regarding illegal immigration? Did you also know that there is a growing gang problem within the city and county, and that law enforcement agencies are trying to get a handle on this very disturbing situation? Well, thanks to a caring listener who sent an email suggesting that we cover this story, that is exactly what we will do. The call has gone out for appropriate local law enforcement representatives to join us to discuss what is being and should be done to solve the problem of gangs in our community and all the graffiti, drugs, violence, and even murder that comes along with it. On the next KSCO special this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on We Know the Best Program Suggestions Come From You, the Listeners, and We Appreciate It Radio, AM 1080 KSCO.
I take great pleasure in welcoming Mario Soule to KSCO Studios. Just met him a few moments ago, talked to him for the first time on the telephone yesterday. And I think Mario Soule is pure class because he came and he accepted our invitation with hardly any notice at all to come down to the studio and talk about this topic of gangs in Santa Cruz. Yes, gangs in Santa Cruz. In fact, a number of people have said to me, why are you even doing this program? That's not a problem. And my answer to that is, if there is a Santa Cruz County gang task force, then it must be a problem of sort, or there wouldn't be a task force. And Mario Soule represents that task force, which is a collaboration between the Santa Cruz County District Attorney's Office and the Santa Cruz County Sheriff's Office. Welcome to KSCO, Mario. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for inviting me, Mike.
You don't hear too much about gang violence in Santa Cruz like you do in Salinas and Watsonville and so forth. But it is a problem.
Well,
right?
No,
I don't mean to be blowing something greater into proportion than it should be.
You could open the paper on a weekly basis and see violence occurring either in Watsonville, Santa Cruz, or in the mid-county portion.
Uh-huh.
The fact is that when we're holding juveniles responsible as adults for violent gang acts, it's a problem.
Okay. And, you know, whenever there's violence, when there's all kinds of violence, but I guess typically, more often than not, violence involves young people, and young people are in groups called gangs.
Absolutely. You know, either, you know, being victimized based on perception or actual suspects.
Right. Okay, well, it every once in a while there seems to be an increase in graffiti activity. This is my perception. I haven't seen too much of that lately, but it sort of comes in spates, you know. Do you agree? Is that tagging and so forth?
Graffiti and gangs, although there is, you know, gang members do graffiti their territories and whatnot, but there's also taggers or tagging crews that aren't, you know, what we call criminal street gangs, but go out and tag their tags on buildings or walls or whatever just as, you know,
an expression of themselves.
Exactly. So there is a separation between taggers and criminal street gangs.
All right, well, tell us about the Santa Cruz County Gang Task Force, when it was formed, whose idea it was, what do you do, how many people are involved in it besides yourself, and so forth.
Well, currently, the task force is a collaboration between the Santa Cruz County Sheriff's Office and Santa Cruz DA's office. It's staffed with two deputies from the sheriff's office and two inspectors from the DA's office, and it's supervised by myself. In addition to that, we have a volunteer staff of a single member and a part-time investigative aide from the DA's office that round out our staff.
Okay. And in the typical day, these are full-time deputies assigned full-time to this task force?
The deputies and inspectors
are. And you're the supervisor?
I am.
And do you which department do you work for? Is it an independent one?
I'm an inspector with the district attorney's office after spending 25 years with the sheriff's office.
Oh, okay. And when did you switch over, and was it specifically for this purpose?
Initially, it was not specifically for this purpose, but after the switch, the minds came to meet and decided that, you know, a task force would be beneficial to the county with I was chosen to lead that task force.
There was and when was that?
That was in July of this past year. So we've been in operation now for 4 or 5 months.
Was this in response to any particular event? Like the downtown, what do you call that, what happened earlier this year downtown where there was a lot of vandalism and so forth?
Well, not really a specific event. It's just, you know, for the last 3 or 4 years, there's been an increase in gang violence and gang crime. And, you know, to combat that.
Is that nationwide or noticeably here more than?
I think it's been more noticeably here.
To what do you attribute that?
Well, gang violence, you know, has been around since the late 70s, early, you know, into the 80s. And it goes in cycles, depending on resources and various other aspects that will contribute to the up and down cycle of gang violence. And a lot of it has to do with sometimes suppression efforts. If there's no suppression efforts, gang violence will go up. If there's suppression efforts, it'll tend to stem that. But then also, you know, I think there's been a change in perception with law enforcement community in that, you know, you really can't arrest your way out of these things. There has to be a total collaboration with community. And intervention,
community
and
outreach, and that's what your task force is all about, presumably, or mostly about.
No, our task force is suppression. We're the suppression arm, but we do want to partner and collaborate with intervention and intervention programs as well.
Okay, so what's an example of some gang activity that you can think of here in Santa Cruz, in Santa Cruz County recently, that your gang task force has addressed?
Well, Yeah, I can't get into specifics because we can't, you know, cases aren't adjudicated and I can't go into specifics, but, you know, we serve.
But so if
we,
it's anything that involves the news, you know, anything that's that's a newsworthy just event, it's sort of a public thing, right?
Just this past week, we served a search warrant down in Watsonville regarding a narcotic investigation where we see some drugs and guns. So, you know, that's one gun that we've taken off the street in just the past week. You know, and those are the types of cases that we're looking to achieve because we're finding a lot more guns out there, and we want to get those off the street as best we can.
And you're finding guns because there are events involving guns that are cropping up. Are you actually searching out? What am I trying to ask here? I mean, you hear a lot more about violent activities in Salinas, for example.
Absolutely.
And Watsonville than in Santa Cruz, although Watsonville is part of Santa Cruz County.
Yeah, although we, you know, our goal is to prevent Santa Cruz County from having that same stigma.
Exactly. And so you're nipping it in the bud, I guess, or hopefully nipping it in the bud. Would that be a correct characterization?
Absolutely. You know, and like I say, you know, we want to form those partnerships of prevention and intervention. And, you know, I'm also part of a movement here in the North County. We're trying to team up with the County Office of Education and trying to come up with solutions with delinquency and you know, with the youngsters.
Uh-huh.
If we could stem the flow of youngsters coming into gangs, you know, I think that'll give us an upper hand on dealing with the gang problem as a whole.
Right. You're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. MZ in the studio here with special guest from the Santa Cruz County Gang Task Force. That would be Mario Soule. We're talking about gangs in Santa Cruz at the suggestion of an email or a suggestion of a listener to KSCO. And we would like to hear from you if you want to give us a call. You can participate in the program by calling 479-1080 with any question or comment you might have. And 479-1080 in area 831. Or you can send an email to mz@ksco.com. And Nikki, I hear the music, the bumper music. That means a break is coming. And let's hear it. Back in a flash. Stay with us.
If you're planning an office party, a holiday gathering, or a New Year's celebration, remember, for a safe, fun, and festive way to celebrate the holidays, have plenty of Martinelli's Gold Medal Sparkling Cider on hand. Martinelli's, in the traditional champagne bottle, is the perfect choice for your holiday gatherings. It has all the elegance and sparkle of champagne, but without the alcohol. And you know, Martinelli's has the best flavor because it's made only from U.S.-grown fresh apples, not from foreign concentrate like most other brands. Martinelli's looks great, tastes great, and complements all your favorite foods, from party snacks and buffets to holiday dinners. Martinelli's, fun, festive, and non-alcoholic. Enjoy the original, Martinelli's Gold Medal Sparkling Cider, a family tradition since 1868.
This is Stephen Martinelli. I'm here with my son, John, the fourth generation president of our family's 140-year-old cider company.
All of us at Martinelli's wish you a safe and festive holiday season and a happy new year.
Storms, thefts, accidents. You can't predict what will happen, but you can prepare for what may happen. Hi, I'm Clay Timmons at DCD Insurance Services in Santa Cruz. Allied will insure your home for some of the most competitive rates available today. And if you insure your auto with the Allied Group, you'll enjoy combined savings of up to 30%. Protect yourself from what may happen. Call us at DCD Insurance Services, 877-378-9068, or visit dcdis.com.
As a Central Coast grower, you face many risks every day. Hi, I'm Marco Martinez with DCD Insurance Services here in Santa Cruz. A good way to manage risks is with an Allied Group AgriChoice Insurance Plan. DCD and Allied, a nationwide company, will insure your farm's equipment, liability, and property for some of the most competitive rates available. And with Allied's premier 24-hour-per-day service and DCD's 70 years of service to the community, your farm is protected. Call us at 877-378-9068 or visit dcdis.com. DCD and Allied, nationwide are always on your side. Se habla español.
Minutes past 10 a.m., hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. Thank you, Nikki. Great intro or bumper music. We're talking about gangs in Santa Cruz and the suppression of gangs in our area. And special guest is Mario Soule from the Santa Cruz County Gang Task Force, a collaboration of the DA's office in Santa Cruz and the Santa Cruz Sheriff's Office. Give us a call if you want to participate, if you have a question or a comment. Phone number is 479-1080. Email address, if you would like to participate that way, is mz@ksco.com. Our first caller will be Joanne in Aptos. Joanne, welcome to the Saturday Special with Mario and MZ. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a question. I'm wondering, when did the meaning of illegal change, the word illegal?
I don't know. It's not really the topic of our discussion here. We're talking about gangs, but I suppose it's an interesting question.
But it is actually about gangs, because three of the people that killed Tyler were illegal aliens.
When you say Tyler, please, for the benefit of our audience, please be more specific.
Tyler Tenero.
Okay, and tell us about that story again.
He was basically knifed down a year ago on Laurel Street.
Okay.
And by gang members.
Okay.
And three of them were illegal aliens. And I want to know why the meaning of illegal isn't being practiced.
Okay, Mario, go.
I'm not sure what exactly the question is. I mean, if it deals with the illegal aliens or the illegal act of the homicide itself.
The illegal aliens that killed Tyler. Why are they illegal to be here, but they're able to be here?
Well, do you think that that's a question that Mario, as a member of the Santa Cruz County Gang Task Force, is that a fair question?
Well,
to ask
he's
him?
A police officer, and he's supposed to enforce laws. And if something's illegal, I would think that they would be enforcing it. I don't understand the sanctuary city.
Well, I mean the ability to determine whether somebody is illegal or not is not readily available to local law enforcement. That is something that's done at a level of somebody's taken into
custody. But these people that killed Tyler were arrested before with gang activities, so you did know that they were illegal.
That is not true.
No?
No.
Oh, okay. But they have prior records, and you guys didn't know that they were illegal then?
That was a Santa Cruz Police Department case.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know the specific aspects of that case.
So you're not with the Santa Cruz PD?
I'm with the Santa Cruz County Gang Task Force, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Okay, I see. All right.
Thank you for calling. That was Joanne in Aptos. 479-1080, a free line now. We have Philip in Live Oak. Will be our next caller. Philip, welcome to the Saturday Special. You're
hey, Michael. I mentioned about the gang stuff that happened with my son about 3 years ago, so I'm intimately familiar with the legal aspect, the juvenile aspect, the gang stuff, the whole nine yards, how much it cost you and how much that put us into debt.
Tell us what happened to your son.
About 3 years ago, out of Harbor, my son got involved with a black gang, which is out of Aptos High. And they got involved in downtown Santa Cruz, and they were distributing marijuana and drugs and all that kind of stuff. My son was basically a mooch, and he posed as a gang member. And they believed that he had drugs on him. And because he was a poser, they arranged a setup to basically rob him of drugs. And what my son would do is he'd introduce other kids that had the pot on him, and then he'd pinch off something for himself. So in him posing as something like a gang member, they arranged a thing down at the end of El Dorado by, you know, Simpson Park and the swim pony park, whatever you call the swim center. They literally jumped out of the bushes, three of them, and Lily beat him senseless, put him in the hospital, broke his jaw, fractured and put him to intensive care for 5 days. After all is said, you had juveniles, and then you had one adult that was both 18 years old. The juveniles went through court. The ones that were caught, two were caught, one was caught, and they literally got a slap on the wrist. They got kisses and hugs for their parents and all kinds of therapy and everything, and they just walked away, essentially the one that arranged the whole thing. The second one was the adult, basically got a year and a half in jail. They're still making payments to my son via the juvenile, and he was just part of the muscle. Now, what happens in this whole process that we went through, the police department and, you know, the Santa Cruz and all that stuff 3 years ago, we discovered, and I'm a poser myself now, so what you do is these kids and the gangs aren't very smart. And my name is like Apple Dog on there, and I pose as a gang member, and they put their stuff up on Facebook. They do links in there, and then you go to PPI as a search engine, because I do security. I do security products. I do security stuff. I'm very familiar. I speak before the DOD on nuclear security, so I'm very familiar with this stuff. And then I pose as a gang person, and then I find out who their links are, who their parents are, and then I go into PPI, which is a free search engine, and then I send out emails to the parents saying, hey, this is what's going on, and then I link their website and their gang thing. And they just do this over and over and over and over again. And this is how you front this stuff is directly. They're not smart. They're extremely dumb in a lot of cases, and they want to pose their activities, and you can make all this links. And then when I was down at the police department, I showed that to them and saying, here's how you track them down. And
which police? Are you talking about the Santa Cruz City Police?
The downtown, the Santa Cruz City Police. The police department. And then I showed them and I gave them all the links and I said, this is how it's done. But any citizen can do this. Any citizen, because a lot of these people are local and you can do simple searches with a lot of speed and you can track what's going on in your local community. And you can look on the map where they're looking, and you can assume where the parents and the relationships are. And there's emails, and you can just blast this stuff out there. So I sit in the background, and I just sit there and just hit the parents or any of the relationships and show them the website, and here's what's going on. And they post their logos. They post their name stuff. They post their activity. And if you get in deep enough, then you can get into their forums, if even into the free stuff. A lot of this stuff is really simple, but it takes some diligence on the citizens.
Do you get any responses from the parents when you...
Oh, sure. I got a response less than 2 weeks ago from one of them. They said they weren't aware of this. In fact, what I did is I even got their address, because they didn't have a printer or computer. I photocopied it off and I mailed it to them on their website with their little picture of their kid on there.
Did it stand the activity of their children? Or
I have no idea.
That'd
be interesting. All I know from my standpoint, if these are juveniles, there's not a lot you can do. Because they're juveniles, and the juvenile court system is set up in the best situation for them. I can't go out and arrest them, but I can certainly go from one parent. I have a lot more freedom than the police department by pounding on them or sending them emails or sending them letters or whatever. And I just did one like 2 weeks ago to one. That's what I can do because my son was really beaten up, and I can do a little bit from the citizen. But I know the court system. It's fine if they're above 18. Man, you can just, you know, slam them hard. But if they're below 18... watched the whole thing, sat through to the court stuff, watched other cases go through. There's not a lot you can do. They get kisses and hugs and all kinds of therapy. And, you know, I listened to the judge and the people, and they were just going through lists trying to figure out all it was just positive stuff, trying to get them out of the gang activity.
Right. The juvenile justice system is all about rehabilitation.
Yeah.
You know, the object is to get the kids clear of the criminal activity and hopefully get them on the right path.
But then something magically happens the day they hit 18, and it changes from rehabilitation to punishment overnight, right?
Yeah.
Well, yes and no. I mean, there's obviously you're treated as an adult after you're 18, and you're held to that standard. You're able to make your own decisions. You know, you're held to that standard. But also, I mean, yes, the juvenile justice system is for rehabilitation, but, you know, if you commit a serious enough crime, you can be charged as an adult even though you're a juvenile. And, you know, that's something.
I always understood. I never understood who makes that determination.
The district attorney's office does.
Like, if a person looks like he's 19 or 21, but they're really 15 or 16, they can be treated as if they're an adult. Just because someone...
If the crime is serious enough, you know...
Can I interject in one more thing on this before I get off?
Sure.
The last thing is the only people that are going to really control juvenile activity in the gangs is people like me and other parents that are aware of the activity. Most parents are not, are usually not the best parents. They're working, et cetera. They're usually not aware of it, or they're basically keeping it off the side. If you can make them know what's going on.
Well, you're really good at understanding and using technology, Philip. It would seem to me that you should get a GoToMeeting group or a, you know, Yahoo group or Google group going, or do some webinars or something like that. At the very least, I think Mario should put out his email address, and maybe you guys can.
Right. You know. I mean, there's a lot of things, but the whole thing is most people are lazy. They don't get involved until you get hit with a $43,000 bill at the end of the day. After your son has gone through emergency and stuff, after you go through with $250,000 worth of insurance bills and stuff and what's covered, then you got a real wake-up call. I mean, a real wake-up call. And most people don't get involved until something happens.
And you're right. There,
that's the bottom line.
There does need to be an education aspect. You know, one of the goals of our task force is to also educate school administrators and parents at school. Because
do you have
right.
a website? Does the task force have a website?
We do not, but I...
But you have an email address so people can contact you, right?
Well, you know, there you go. So what is the task force good if you don't have a website? I'm doing more on my end because I have more freedom than he does in how I can attack this problem. And I try to do this at least twice a month, get onto the gang after he's be a poser, and then pretend to be stuff, trying to get involved. Get the names, get the contacts, then go PPI in the search engines, and then basically start blasting emails, letters, and there's phone numbers and all kinds, and you locate. If the person's wrong, they're wrong. They're going to make a reference, hey, I'm not the right person. It's simple, or they're just going to ignore it. But, you know, I try to do that at least once to twice a month, and I make a difference by getting one parent saying that they're aware of what their kids are going on to. And this goes on. There's always new gangs and new stuff happening, and it's real, real simple. Anybody can do it, and if every adult or parent that's interested in their kids in there, if they just get on to any website or Facebook and start typing in gang activities and start putting down different things, they put the stuff up there. They're not smart. And then you can sit there and track and do a search engine on the parents, and away you go and blast out an email to them, and you're there.
Right.
If the gang task force put up a website, which would be fantastic there, with a forms list, we could all interject, and parents could list this stuff out there and say, here's something's interesting, and send you a link to Facebook. Is this real or not? It takes you 3 seconds to look at that. 3 seconds. No, that person's irrelevant. They're just pretending. They're doing games.
You know, maybe we could help with that with KSCO.com. We have a website now that is capable of doing probably 1,000 times more than I could ever fathom or even dream of. And I'm sure we could have a section devoted to, in our community section where it would be almost like a Facebook for people who have had problems like you have and who want to become proactive.
Right. But, you know, the gang task force, you have to have people that are interested in it. Who's going to maintain it? Who's going to manage it? Is he going to do it? I mean, he has all his activities.
Well, you were saying off the air here about there is a website that which is the Santa Cruz Sheriff's website, which is scsheriff.com,
I believe it is.
.com, not .org?
No, I think it's .com.
So scsheriff.com. We'll check that out over the break. We'll verify that. But there is...
Anyway, for my last thing, it says, you know, whatever you can do for a gang task force and whatever this Mario is doing, you know, support him. Everybody that's listening out there, try to give him support in any way. And it only takes like 3, 4, or 5 of me in a neighborhood that are willing to do this, and he'd get more information from the community than he could ever run around until he's proactive, until something happens where your son has now jumped out of the bushes and beat senseless. I mean, this is where it takes for community. And it's not hard, everybody that's listening. It's not that hard. It takes less than 10 to 15 minutes. That's 30 minutes a month to do a little bit of activity. It's not hard. And you make one difference in one family, you go so much further. But anyway, that's the last to say. Great show. I'm glad you brought this on after 3 years, and I've talked about it off and on with different people. Appreciate it, and you guys go for it.
Thank you, Philip.
All right.
Take care. 479-1080 and area 831 is the phone number to call if you want to participate in the Saturday special today. Or you can send an email to mz@ksco.com. Let's see if anybody has done that. We'll see. It looks like there's something there, but we got a whole lot of callers here. So let's go to our next caller. That will be James in Scotts Valley. Hey, James, welcome to KSCO. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks, Michael, for having this discussion. I was wondering if you could ask Mario, or Mario, maybe you could just answer the question about when I was, I've been meeting a lot of people that are not from, you know, from south of the border, different locations, South America, Central America, and Mexico, and some of them are saying that, you know, there's like gangs from El Salvador, parts of Mexico, different types of gangs from Mexico. I was wondering, have you actually seen an increase of different types of gangs coming from different locations outside of California to Santa Cruz County to establish their turf? Because it seems to me, just an observation, you know, around the county that there is that kind of thing happening. But I was just wondering if you could actually verify that through your investigations, if you've actually seen that. And have you seen a connection to more violent gangs, the you know, the bigger types of gangs? Is there associations with those? My last question would be to you is since it does seem like it is growing, that is there collaboration? You know, the first caller alluded to the incident that happened over there by, you know, the projects that are next to the 7-Eleven there, where that young man was killed. And so, you know, it seems to me like there should be, you know, collaboration between city, county, and maybe even federal, because if there is an immigration issue to be dealt with, it seems to me like they should be involved with your task force as well. So I was wondering if you could answer those three questions. Thanks.
Absolutely. As far as international gangs, like you mentioned, El Salvador, we do have a contingent of MS-13 or Mara Salvatrucha gang here in Santa Cruz that we're aware of. As far as any other gangs coming from outside the area, not so much. You know, we have our local established gangs. We do have, you know, I know of an instance where we had a Southern California gang member relocate up here and join one of our local gangs. As far as the collaboration goes, I think we're at a very unique time right now in county history where three of the four police chiefs are brand new. The sheriff is relatively new. They're young executives, and I think it's a great opportunity to, you know, come up with some innovative collaboration between the executives of the county law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing I was noting too is that one of the fellows that I was talking to was saying that you know, there's kind of a connection with families that are here from the other countries by gangs to connect with those people, you know, that people that are here illegally, and the gangs will kind of connect up with those families and sort of you know, it's not like they really want them there. It's not like some of these people actually want to be associated with them, but they don't have too much of a choice.
I mean, it's kind of like the same, you know, a lot of immigration type of groups. You know, people will come from a certain area and tend to group together once they come up here. And, yeah, by association, they become tied to where they came from in Mexico.
James, thanks very much for your call. There's quite a number of other calls we want to get to. Appreciate it, though.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, I guess, and that means there's another commercial break. So if you're on hold right now, stay there. We will be coming back and getting to all of you in plenty of time here, because it's 10:43 on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. It's the Saturday special with Mario Soleil and MZ. And Nikki is the pilot in command. We'll be right back.
If you were work the land, Webb's Farm Supplies in Soquel and Husqvarna Power Tools can make your work easy. Whether you need professional-grade power for landscape and trees or consumer-grade power for home and garden, Webb's Farm Supplies has world-leading Husqvarna Power Tools. Saws, trimmers, cutters, mowers, and parts for anything and everything new or obsolete. At 5381 Old San Jose Road for over 65 years, it's Webb's Farm Supplies and Husqvarna. Visit webbs-farmsupplies.com or call 475-1020. 475-1020.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman here. Listen to the things your friends and neighbors are doing for themselves with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Microwave repair.
Robotic arm with controller for eShed industrial arm.
Tesla coil for my rail gun.
Dead tricks upgrades.
Drive for a telescope.
A tube amp for my guitar.
Submersible sensors for NASA.
Ethernet cable for my new iMac.
Solar powered gate.
Instrument panel for an airplane.
Wiring my hot rod.
Upgrading PC system.
Help with home wiring.
Custom audio cables for recording studio.
High voltage electronic ignition circuit.
Building a spaceship.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Voted best electronics store 2 years running. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444 or visit at 2808 Soquel Avenue in Santa Cruz. Do it yourself and save money with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
You, Nikki, every bumper music you put on is so damn good, I just want to let the whole thing play through. So, Bridge Over Troubled Water, Simon and Garfunkel, 1969, am I right?
You got it.
Okay, good. All right, let's see. Welcome back to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special, 1046, 479-1080, in area 831 if you want to join the program with Mario Soule of the Santa Cruz County Gang Task Force. And our next caller is going to be, oh, my God, I haven't seen this name for many, many months. Peter V. in Salinas. Hello, Peter V.
Good morning, MD. Good morning, Mario.
Good morning.
Well, I'm calling from the front lines here in Salinas, where we've had 17 homicides so far this year. And the basic mentality most of the citizens here have is we're in lockdown. When the sun goes down at the end of the night, most people lock their windows, lock their doors, and load a gun. And that's the kind of fear that we've been living in here in Salinas. And what I'm here calling to point out that, Michael, you're talking about sanctuary cities, but what you're leaving out is the sanctuary facilities. And in Watsonville and Salinas, that's the Catholic Church. Now, the reason I'm dragging the Catholic Church into this discussion is because the biggest issue for the creation of gang membership here in Salinas is we've got 10 people living in a three-bedroom house. Now, you're asking these teenagers to come home at the end of the day and share a bedroom with the two or three of their other siblings, or their option is to go hang out with their gang hooligan friends. You're asking these kids to, again, take up the mantle of hard work that their parents do on the better part of 12-hour days. And they're turning their backs both on their parents and on working towards a better life. And again, what we're invariably left with here is very little choices outside of, again, I know this isn't going to be real popular, but in Salinas, we need military checkpoints. I know that's not going to be a real popular idea with the liberals in Santa Cruz, but right now, we're locked down in our houses while the hooligans, thieves, and criminals have free run of our streets. And who are they protected by? The very legal institutions, which are supposed to be looking out for us, the citizens, are forced by, again, the civil liberties of, again, these hooligans and thieves trumping our safety and our security. And until we address, again, the overpopulation problem of the Latino people, I know that's not a real popular one, but that's the reality here, and the Catholic Church is a sanctuary for these hooligans, we're not going to get anywhere. That's my opinion on this. Again, may not be popular. It may not be the best that we have to offer, but again, as somebody...
But I remember you were always a very thoughtful caller and whom we haven't heard from in a while. Where have you been?
I'm always listening, Michael, and again, especially when it comes to listening to Alex Jones, he's my favorite.
Okay. Were you at the event that we had with Alex recently?
Oh, you better believe it. I was in the front row.
Okay, great. By the way... we're getting off the subject. I promise I'll come back to it in just a second here. But while I'm thinking about it, there is at KSCO.com a new featured video. Jonty Collier, who is our fabulous webmaster here at KSCO, sent me an email a couple days ago saying, I want your permission to put this up on the website here. And it's Alex Jones talking about the soon-to-be, probable soon-to-be enforced internet safety rules. It's a big video. It's 10 minutes long. It's large on the site. So if you go to KSCO.com, don't do it during the Saturday special here, but afterwards, sometime after the Saturday special, go to KSCO.com, and right there on our website, watch this 10-minute video from Alex Jones. It will curl your hair. And take heed to it, because while people are sleeping, government is taking over the internet, and they're going to require us to have licenses for websites and so forth, and approval from the government, and they're going to move us over to a whole new kind of website that is very filtered and so forth. Real scary stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Anyhow, Peter, thanks for calling in. And appreciate it. We're going to go to our next caller, Jeff in Live Oak. Jeff, welcome to the Saturday special with Mario Soleil and MZ.
Thanks for having me.
Sure.
Listen, Mario, if I may call you that.
Sure.
I was a reporter for the Hollister newspaper for a long time, and was shocked when I first got there by the complete lack of cooperation on the parts of the families of the gang members, even when it was in their best interest. You know, even when I'd look them in the eye and say, I don't want the sheriff's account of your son's arrest to be the only account that appears in my story. I would like, you were an eyewitness, I'd like your account too. And she just said,
what?
Nope.
A guy, a real, yeah, journalist is left in,
right,
our world.
And she would just say, nope. I mean, consistently, every single time. You know, I'd go to the jail anytime that any sort of dubious arrest seemed to have been made and asked to talk with the inmates. 0 for 100 on that. It just never happened. So it seems like there's many aspects to the gang problem. One of them is the gang members' extended communities' complete lack of support of newspapers and emergency room attendants and police officers and sheriffs and everything. So something's got to be done with that. And what do you think can be done? I'll take my answer off the air, please.
Thanks for calling.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, that's a very common problem. I mean, you know, with gang members, and or especially gang members who come from a family rich in gang participants, they're brought up in a environment of distrust for the whole the system as a whole, and you know that is where, you know, I think if we get some sort of broad based approach to battling this and try to rework trust into these or those types of circles and kind of break that circle to try to get at least the new generation of that family maybe out of the gang life. it's a difficult thing to challenge or to tackle, obviously.
Right. It looks like, Jeff, you said you were going to take your answer off the air. I thought that meant you were going to hang up, but you're still on. So do you have another question? You there, Jeff?
Oh, my gosh, I forgot to hang up.
I thought he was going to hang. All right, there we go. Scott in Boulder Creek, our next caller to the KSCO Saturday Special. We're talking gangs with Mario Soule from the Gang Task Force.
Thank you so much, MZ. Such an important topic. From what I understand, there's two main gangs, and one's from Mexico and Central America, and the other's from the United States. I guess they're called the Sereños and the Norteños. So both are criminal gangs in that, but one is far more ruthless. And I know a guy whose dad was fired. He was a prison guard, and he was fired because he was a nice prison guard. He was the next on the hit list. When the southern gangs took over the prisons, they were killing all the friendly prison guards lest a prisoner might spill the beans. And so, you know, imagine the mafia without any police force. That's how it is. They take over towns when they'll kill entire towns of resistance. So short of sending in the Marines, which I think we should do down to Mexico, you know, with permission, of course, from the Mexican president, which I doubt it's going to happen, but it would work. And the military checkpoints would certainly work. But the way I see it is that, you know, gang enhancement seems what somewhat unconstitutional to me. However, if someone is here for the express purpose of gang activities and they're here illegally, then I think that it should be an enhancement, breaking, our national borders for gang activity, something like that, and throw the book at them. Some people join gangs just to protect themselves from from Richmond to here. Everything I hear is that the ones that with the blue colors are the ones who hit you from behind, the ones that shoot people at intersections. They're just running wild. So that's my solution.
Okay, in a nutshell, please.
Bring down the gavel really hard on anyone who is here illegally participating in gang activities.
Hey, what do you think about that, Mario?
Well, Mike, that brings up the question, if a person here is legally and commits the same crime as a person who is here illegally, the person that's here legally gets less of a punishment than the other?
Absolutely. If they come to our country to kill and rape, my next door neighbor, her daughter-in-law.
Wait a minute. Did you hear what he said?
Yes, absolutely. I disagree with Mario's premise that it's unfair. To me, it's absolutely. If you're going to say gang enhancement, is there mafia enhancement? Is there organized crime enhancement added to people's sentences?
Absolutely. It's called the RICO Act in the federal statute, and it would apply to California as well under the STEP Act, if we could establish it to be a criminal street gang.
Well, Mario, I really think that we should look heavily into somebody sneaking into our country and shooting and maiming. My next door neighbor, apparently the guy was on a heroin high. He was from Mexico, and she spit at him. He came back later that night, shot her dead in the head. They found her hours later, and he had already gone to Mexico. My neighbor had called Clinton and the Attorney General, everybody, and he was just bolted, gone.
Yeah, it might be unfortunate incident, but I mean, the fact is that you have American-born gang members committing the same violent criminal acts.
Well, from what I understand, the main violence is coming from south of the border, and you can't deny they are killing entire villages. Why don't we just send in the Marines and declare war on these criminal activities in Mexico? Is there too much money in law enforcement? Is that the problem, Mario? Really, be honest with me.
Well, that's far beyond local law enforcement going down in Mexico. I mean, we're dealing with what occurs here in Santa Cruz County. And, if somebody's going to commit a violent act upon another person in the community here, I think they ought to be held just as responsible. Now, if we do determine that they are an illegal immigrant, obviously after they serve their criminal sentence, then they're subject to deportation and whatnot. And
hey, Scott, would you argue with what Mario just said?
Well, my argument is this: if there's a gang enhancement, why not have an illegal immigrant gang activity enhancement?
You know, there is something akin to that anyway. If we deport somebody, who's committed, who's been convicted of a crime here, especially a violent crime, and they're deported and they return to the country illegally, then there is an enhanced federal crime that they get sentenced to just for coming back illegally after they've been already deported.
Well, that's
for
a good
crime.
Thing, don't you think, Scott?
But that's out of our... There's a dual sovereignty. The Republic of California and every state is actually a nation. And then there's the federal. I don't think that we should depend on them for our penal system. I think we should bring it down hard. If we really want to do it, we're either going to have military checkpoints, which would work. I don't disagree with that. I mean, there's no reason to really be afraid of such a thing. I really believe that those guys, really have it together. They'll allow. In other words, if you have pot, you can get a pot card according to California law. But you know, if you've got methamphetamine, if you're bringing in heroin from South America, it would put an end to all of it.
Okay.
We need something drastic, and
Scott,
my solution
thanks,
is less drastic than that.
Thanks very much for your call.
Thank you.
A white paper has sent me an email that says, come on, Michael, he is not happy at all. But since we're at 10:59 and 47, 48, 49 seconds, we're going to have to wait till hour number two. That's what we call a tease here in the radio biz. You're listening to KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It is 11 a.m. Here's Fox News.
It says he hears the complaints of airline passengers who are being subjected to ever more intrusive security procedures. But the president says the Transportation Security Administration has to try and stay ahead of terrorist threats.
What I've said to the TSA is that you have to constantly refine and measure whether what we're doing is the only way to assure the American people's safety. And you also have to think through, are there ways of doing it that are less intrusive?
Passengers who don't want to go through the full body scans, which allow TSA screeners to see beneath clothes, have to go through a pat-down, which is far more intimate than older methods. There's an internet movement, Opt-Out Day, encouraging people to refuse the full body scans on the day before Thanksgiving. The president spoke from the NATO conference in Portugal.
NATO agreeing to start handing over Afghanistan province by province from next year, but...
To achieve that goal... We must train and educate Afghan soldiers and Afghan police, and therefore our training mission is crucial.
NATO's Secretary General. Alliance commanders say about 80% of Afghan soldiers and police cannot read or write, so the transition will need a ramp up in training assistance. Separately, NATO officials here in Lisbon warn handing over security 4 years from now will not necessarily mean an end to combat. In Lisbon, Portugal, Alistair Wanklin, Fox News Radio.
Some terribly disturbing details coming out of Ohio regarding that missing family, which was found dead this week. A friend of the Herman family telling the Associated Press the bodies of Mother Tina, 10-year-old son Cody Maynard, and family friend Stephanie Sprang had been dismembered when they were found stuffed in the base of a hollow tree. A coroner's report is expected shortly. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
One show, policing the web, safeguarding schools, and monitoring the media.
They want to fire Ronald McDonald.
Yeah.
We have a First Amendment in this country for a reason.
The Culture Warriors tackle America's toughest topics. It's just one of the reasons why The Factor rules.
We are a nation of innovators, dreamers, and risk takers. We believe in success, hard work, and free enterprise. We know that in business, anything is possible. Because in America, all things are possible. We make our own destiny, and we shape our own future. We will not be held back. We move forward. Fox Business, the power to prosper.
The One Show, exposing outrageous crimes, shocking verdicts, and the cases America's buzzing about.
I think she will be charged
really?
For abuse.
I would have given him the mask.
The Legal Eagles tackle what the mainstream media won't touch. It's just one of the reasons why The Factor rules.
For the first time, Pope Benedict says Catholics can use condoms in some cases. The Catholic Church has long opposed contraception in any form. In a book coming out next week, the Pope says condoms can be used to stem disease. For example, male prostitutes with male clients where contraception is not an issue. Pope Benedict goes on to say the Church does not consider such a method to be a moral solution. Native Americans and African American farmers are getting some compensation from the government for past injustices.
Two long-standing class action lawsuits against the government appear headed for resolution now that the Senate signed off on $4.6 billion to settle the claims. $1.2 billion of it to go to black farmers who sued the Agriculture Department, saying they'd been discriminated against in the awarding of loans and other aid. $3.4 billion of it to go to Native Americans who sued the Interior Department, claiming they'd been swindled out of royalties for things like gas, grazing, oil, and timber dating back to 1887. The Obama administration deciding to move aggressively to settle these decade-old lawsuits, urging the House to follow the Senate lead. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
You can pick your friends. You were born with your family.
Yes, those holiday family gatherings can be fun and fulfilling, or not.
You could just see it in everybody's body language. People just look worn out.
Dr. Richard Blana offers a few tips for coping, like know what you can and can't do.
So if you can handle dinner for 8, don't invite 16.
And when you need to get away from a stressful situation, literally, get away.
Even if it's just taking 10 minutes, going for a walk, coming back.
Blana says one big reason for family holiday stress is even though you've grown up, your parents and siblings may still define you by your childhood. Rich Johnson, Fox News Radio.
Turns out it was baby powder stuffed into a threatening letter sent to the Dancing with the Stars production offices. The letter arrived just days before the final showdown between finalists who include Bristol Palin, daughter of Sarah. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here. Partly cloudy today. Showers this afternoon. We got a high of 57 and south-southwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, we got about an 80% chance of rain. Probably get about a half inch of rainfall. Possible thunderstorms. Got a low of 42 and west-southwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Sunday, we're going to have rain and a high of 58 with west winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, there's going to be a small craft advisory in effect from this evening through Sunday morning. And today out there, the southwest winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves 1 to 3 feet, northwest swell 4 to 6 feet at 12 seconds, and shifting to the west at 12 seconds in the afternoon. Tonight out there, southwest winds 15 to 25 knots, wind waves 3 to 5 feet, northwest swell 6 to 8 feet at 12 seconds. And on Sunday, we've got west winds 15 to 25 knots, decreasing 10 to 15 in the afternoon. Wind waves 3 to 4 feet with a northwest swell of 6 to 8 feet at 12 seconds. For your KSCO King of the Hill traffic update, I have no incidents to report at this time. If you see something out there, give me a call, 475-1080, and I will report it. Current temperatures, 53 degrees in Monterey, 53 in Salinas. And in Watsonville, it's 52. We're at 48 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. Official time is 11:06 and 51 seconds on this Saturday, November 20th, 2010. Up next, second hour, Saturday special. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Just out of curiosity.
Yep.
When someone calls you with an incident to report, I mean, do you verify it?
I check, yes, but for the most part, I'll
usually... If someone wanted to play a cruel joke and tell you something had happened or report something that just was not reality.
I actually usually wait for it to come up on the CHP, or I wait for a second person to verify.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
I try to be smart about
it. We do have checks and balances
here
at your favorite radio station. And it happens to be mine, too. Do we have a world premiere of a K's commentary at hand?
We sure do.
Well, let's play the Hour 2 phone jingle to officially welcome, begin our second hour. And then Richard N. Watsonville, our good friend, is the only person remaining on the line from the four or five that we had last hour. Maybe they plan on calling back. But in any case, Richard N. Watsonville is there, and he will be our first caller right after Kay's commentary. So, we just can't do anything before we do this.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but...
I guess we've kicked a hornet's nest because now people are going to the website and they're sending emails about sanctuary cities and gangs and so forth. Got an hour ahead. Stay with us.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
Have you noticed that a number of very visible conservative Americans are loudly determined to gather us together to force our weakened president to eliminate Obamacare, which his family and all of Congress would never participate in because it is inferior for them, but good for us? We the people together can help make the Obama health fiasco go away. Listen to the following little gem, which tells the story so well and so concisely. It's called Here's the Reality. I think it's been floating around, but it's really worth repeating. Let me get this straight. We are going to be gifted with a health care plan that we are forced to purchase and find if we do not, which covers at least 10 million more people. I say it's more like 30 million people, without adding a single new doctor, but provides for 16,000 new IRS agents. It was written by a committee whose chairman says he doesn't understand it. It was passed by a Congress that didn't read it, but exempted themselves from it, and it was signed by a president who smokes, with funding administered by a Treasury chief who didn't pay his taxes, for which we will be taxed for 4 years before any benefits take effect, and by a government which has already bankrupted Social Security and Medicare. All to be overseen by a Surgeon General who is obese and financed by a country that is broke. What the heck could possibly go wrong? For KSCO, this is Kay's Whirling.
Richard N. Watsonville.
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
You're on the air.
Thank you very much.
How are you?
It was a very interesting commentary I just heard.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, martial law is reality. If everybody wants some reality, we will go to martial law. The military has no problem with socialized medicine. So this thing about socialism, I thoroughly enjoyed it when I was in the military. Let me just say that much. I got something I want to say here about these gang things, Mike. Maybe you should hook up, do a link, gangsters@ksco.com. When people have a problem, they can go there and write about it instead of all this other stuff on these other links. I mean, it's right here in Santa Cruz.
You mean set up a group at the community section of KSCO.com called Gangsters?
Maybe a link for gangsters and maybe a link for the good people, the good guys. I have no idea, but until Mario can figure out who the good cops are and the bad cops are, we're not going to get anything done. He's already been a sheriff for, 27 years? Is that what you said, Mario?
Let me turn his mic on, sorry.
Matter of fact, I am on my 27th year.
Oh, I thought you were in for 27 years and now you're doing this, something separate. I thought maybe you had retired, but have you ever been in the military?
No, I have not.
How would you love to have unlimited resources and not just eight people to work with and one volunteer.
Well, these are definitely challenging
times. It would be eliminated overnight, wouldn't it?
Then
it would be eliminated if you had your way.
At what expense?
Huh?
At what expense?
No expense. You have everything you want.
Okay. So you're saying if this was a military type situation that
say this is Afghanistan and we don't have a bunch of white people calling in, you know, banging on the brown people or the illegals. We're talking about criminal activity. I'll give you a good case in point. 2 weeks ago, I was at a friend's house. This friend's car was getting ripped. I mean, broken into. The glass was broken. They stole the stereo. And the best thing is they videotaped the whole thing. The neighbors did, right? They videotaped it, Michael. And they took
it on YouTube?
No. They called the police.
Oh.
You know what Watsonville PD's finest said?
What?
Turn it into the insurance company. These people not only videotaped this action, they videotaped the person that did it and followed them home. Police department says, call the insurance company. When you have that problem, you have no police. We need guys like Mario to turn in all the bad cops. And Peter V, I'm really ashamed of him blaming this thing on the Catholic Church, because if the Catholic Church is doing this, I wish somebody would tell me the times of the, and Mario here, that wouldn't you love to know the times of the meetings of the gang members at the Catholic Church?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
if there's
that's
such
a stupid
thing.
It's a stupid remark to make, isn't it? I mean, where these people are coming from is not quite the same place where they're going to. And that's why I think we need the military in here. Peter V was right about Checkpoint Charlie. There would be no drunk drivers. There would be no crashes. You'd be in convoys, rolling along with everybody else at the same speed. I don't get it. And I wonder if you really feel good about doing what you're doing, Mario. Do you feel good doing this kind of work, driving around in a black car that's unmarked? May have gang task force on the back of it in gold letters. I've seen the car. It's a piece of trash, man.
Do you drive a car that, to Richard's description?
No, that's Monterey County Task Force.
Right. They'd bring it out to the races, Mike. Out at Laguna Seca.
Wow.
And you know, the windows are all blacked out, and it's broken down in the middle of the highway when you're going to work, and it's terrible, man. I mean,
nothing gets past Richard N. Watsonville.
Well, I listen to a scanner. Everybody out there may not know what a scanner is, but it's everything that Mario's doing. All this gang activity, all the police activity, firemen, CAL FIRE, all these hillbillies are on the radio. And I'm wondering why we can't have a link for that, Mike. Michael, get us a 911 channel link.
Where people can go to our website and then listen that way.
And hear the
So they don't have
activity.
To go buy their own and install their own
so that
scanner.
So that way, Michael, when they hear a siren going down the street, they can tune in to your website there or whatever you know. Your
what a great idea, Richard N. Watsonville.
And they can hear what the police are doing.
I love it. We're going to look into that.
Take care.
Thank you so much. Here, 479-1080, if you want to call the radio show here. That was Richard N. Watsonville. We have a bunch of open lines, all, in fact, except for the line currently occupied by Marshall in Santa Cruz. You're on the air, Marshall.
Hey, I'm originally from Watsonville. But what Richard said, a buddy of mine's house got broken into, and there was fingerprints on the window where they broke in. And the police came, and they said, we don't have time to take those prints. See you later. Just make a report. But I'm not making – I appreciate what the police do. And I want to go to the levee in Watsonville, but Salinas recently cleaned up Chinatown pretty well. You know, it used to be where it was just wide open drug dealing in the streets, but that's shut down. And I'm wondering why they don't bust up what the Pisces are doing on the levee on the Paro River on the Santa Cruz County side. And it's going on the Monterey County side, too. But since this guy's Santa Cruz County, I want to know why they don't just go down there and clean that up. You know, they have a little guard guy where because I walk that levee, and I used to take my kids down it. They have a guard guy, and there's a drug camp down by the river. And I'm wondering why they don't just get rid of those guys, because it's the large amount of drug dealing of heroin, crack, and meth And
that's
why don't
a nice
they
legitimate question to ask, Mario.
Why don't you go down there and clean it up?
Actually, I used to spend a lot of time down on the Watsonville levee, walking it and patrolling that area. And, you know, it's a continual challenge. You clean, you rest some people, you get them out, and new ones come in. So it's an ongoing cycle there as well. But, you know, both Richard and you bring up some points of, you know, we are facing tough times with budgets and resources and everything. So we're trying to squeeze more out of less.
Well, you don't even have to look for them. You know where they're at. Just go down there and tell them to get lost or bust them. That's my point.
Okay, Marshall, thank you.
Do.
Thank you for making right. it right here on your favorite radio station. I thought Mario was. I thought Marshall was going to agree with me, and instead he hung up. I don't know. Joe and Salinas, it's your turn. You're on the air.
Where was the last caller from?
Santa Cruz. Marshall in Santa Cruz.
Yeah. Well, he's. He doesn't know Chinatown in Salinas, I'll tell you that. I don't doubt that the police maybe make sweeps through there. But the place, the filthy pigs die, both in human terms and in the dirt, bacteria, you name it. It's, you may as well call it Obamaville. I mean, the place is just a travesty, a waste, despite the best efforts of... Victory Mission and some other evangelical churches.
Please don't hold anything back, Joe.
Well, we have to see the problem and explain it as it is rather than be in the delusional state that the Democrats and liberals and leftists love to dwell in.
Okay, so what's your question or comment for Mario here on our program about gangs?
Well, a part of the solution is the swift execution of shot callers. These guys have been convicted of murder, and that's a tough thing to do. To be put on death row is so tough in this state, and we've got hundreds and hundreds of these guys, shot callers. You will never make a significant dent in the gang until the young people see that there is another place where they can be punished, and that's from legitimate law enforcement, instead of just being afraid of the shot callers and their underlings.
Are you with Joe on this, Mario?
I think I see where he's getting at. I mean, yeah, shot callers are always a target of law enforcement, and through the years, I think if you look, you'll see various... operations directed at those shot callers.
Directions are fine, but they need to be dead. They need to be 6 feet under with the monument that says this is what happens to those who prey upon the innocent and vulnerable in our society.
Well, that goes into a whole other spectrum of things beyond our control, but you know, we do try to hold those people responsible.
The only thing we lack is the will and the morality to do it. We have become an immoral, lazy, morally lazy people. And until we get our own morality back, it's only going to get worse.
Joe, your call added to this program. Thank you for making it. Theodora, you're on KSCO on the Saturday special. Welcome.
Hi. I'm calling in with a dose of reality. To remind those who are calling for martial law as the only solution, that the same military that they want to bring home to protect us here is the same military protecting the opium crop in Afghanistan, and they've openly admitted it. And beyond that, we also know that the smuggling out of Afghanistan, Vietnam, Colombia has been at the very, you want to talk about the shot callers? CIA, you know, we've known for years, CIA is heavily involved in the drug trade, and a lot of these wars down in Mexico are not about getting rid of the drugs, they're about culling the herd so that, you know, the top shot callers that exist within our own government are continuing to make the bulk of the money. So, you know, until you come to terms with where, you know, the drugs are coming from and who's really in charge of that and really openly talk about it and stop pretending they're just, you know, low-level drug dealers disconnected from government power, we're not going to solve the problem at all. And martial law is the last thing we should be looking at. You know, look what's happened to the folks in Iraq and Afghanistan with the drones flying over and willy-nilly killing civilians. Is that what we want? Is that going to be any safer for us? And my question for Mario is, what's it like knowing that you're, you know, at this end, you're having to bust these hardcore criminals for heroin when your own troops are overseeing the crop in Afghanistan? And again, they've openly admitted it. And I'd love an answer to that.
So well, would I.
Well, you know, that's again, that's something beyond my scope. You know, I arrest him when I find him here.
You're really putting him on the spot. And we were both concerned that these kinds of calls beyond the scope would take place. And it took a little coaxing on my part to get Mario to be willing to come into the station here, because I think he anticipated some of this. But you're doing great. So go ahead and answer the question to the extent that you are able or willing.
You know, like I say, you know, the source of it, you know, whether it come from international, you know, we have other agencies that's going to be concerned about that and deal with that. I'm concerned about it when it comes into our community and how I could impact it here to protect us.
Okay, let me ask a little bit of a put you on the spot question. Would you prefer to have help from federal officials?
No, I don't think that's the answer at all. Well, wait a minute. Federal officials in the form of law enforcement, absolutely.
ICE, for example.
And in fact, we have worked with ICE. We identified a gang member down in Watsonville that was here that had returned to the country illegally. We worked with ICE. They were
able. In the promo that I made, it talks about how local leaders, I'm talking about Santa Cruz and maybe Watsonville, do not, by declaring sanctuary city status, they don't want any meddling from anybody outside.
But I think that's a misconception, because just this past summer, I mean, you have the Santa Cruz Police Department teaming up with ICE, having an ICE agent stationed in their office. Uh-huh. Matter of fact, to deal with immigration issues that came up.
I don't think it's the law enforcement people who don't want any meddling. I think it's their bosses who sign their paychecks or approve their budgets or whatever. That's who I'm talking about. Oh. The people who get elected to the city councils. Probably both in Santa Cruz and Watsonville. But anyhow.
But if you go back to this summer, they did invite ICE in.
Okay, good.
I mean, that's a fact.
Okay.
And,
that music means a commercial break is at hand. Phil in Santa Cruz, Joanne in Santa Cruz, Theodora. I don't know if you're done, Theodora.
If you're going to come, I just want to leave saying, you know, they've got us coming and going. You know, they bring the drugs in, then we're forced to fight them. And as long as we keep playing that game and don't change any of the ground rules, this is what we're going to be doing for the rest of this millennium as well. So, you know, I'm glad you're doing what you can do, Mario, but believe me, you know, it's a game, and you know, we're the fools to keep playing it, you know, keeping drugs illegal. Make them legal. Only a few people are going to use them, and people like these gang members are going to lose their income.
I agree. That's what my father used to say many years ago. In fact, the first time when Leon Panetta was going up and down Pacific Avenue shaking people's hands in 1976, introducing himself as wanting to be the next congressman, my father asked him, are you willing to make all drugs legal? And he backed away and thought my father was a nutcase.
And now he heads the CIA, the largest drug smugglers in the world. So
anyhow, thanks for your call, Theodora. So stay with us if you're on in Wendell and Downtown Al and JT in Watsonville. We'll be back right after this from Nikki and our advertisers.
Hi, Roy Trowbridge here with Palace Art and Office Supply. Listen to the conversation now going on between Mabel and Shannon of Palace's retail management team.
I just love November.
Why is that, Mabel?
Well, Shannon, that's because November is when folks start making things for the holidays.
They come into Palace looking for ideas, which means we get to have lots of fun helping people be creative.
Yeah, the other day I helped a guy pick out a bunch of paints, brushes, and canvas so his grandmother could start painting again. And it was all on sale, and he was thrilled. I wonder if she'll be like a Grandma Moses.
But don't forget our great selection of gifts and cards. And for the kids, we have art kits, craft projects, books, puzzles, games, and a huge selection of Japanese erasers and those silly shaped rubber band bracelets they're all wearing.
And each Palace store is unique. If you don't find what you want at one store, you'll find it at the other.
At Palace on Pacific Avenue in downtown Santa Cruz and on 41st and Capitola, you will find friendly, helpful advice for all of your holiday projects. And don't forget to think local first.
Autumn is the time to make certain your home is safe and ready for the long nights of winter. Hello, I'm Charlie Friedman.
And I'm Tino from JM Electric. Charlie's right. Autumn is the time to get a free, no-obligation electrical safety assessment from JM Electric. Listen.
My name is Lane LeCompte, and I live in Soquel. My home is about 45 years old. There were a lot of things I was wondering how my home was still standing. And I want to make sure that my home is safe. Oh, they came out. They were wonderful. They really took care of everything, of all of the items we had. Yes, I sleep very well after the work that they did.
Don't wait until you blow a circuit. Call for a free, no-obligation electrical safety assessment from JM Electric today.
I'll personally come out and walk through your home to see if I can spot any trouble before it happens. I'm Tino at JM Electric, 422-7819. That's 422-7819 or jmelectric.com and tell them Charlie sent you.
Now that I've lost everything to you, you say you want to start something new, and it's breaking my heart, you're leaving. Maybe I'm grieving, but if you want to leave, take good care. Hope you have a lot of nice things to wear. Then a lot of nice things turn bad out there.
Okay, it's obviously Cat Stevens. I don't know if it's T for the Tillerman 1971 or the subsequent album, Peace Train or something. Which one was
your
it?
Your first guess.
Yeah, okay, yep. I thought. Okay. Not too bad. God, and he, what's his name? What's his name? What's his current name?
I have no idea.
Okay, he's become an Islamic.
Oh, really? He's not Cat Stevens anymore?
He's not Cat Stevens anymore. In
oh,
fact,
gross.
When he was Cat Stevens, His real name, I think, was Steve something.
Uh-huh.
And then he had some sort of epiphany when he almost drowned and then decided to become, you know, a Muslim. And he made news about three or four years ago because, or maybe it was longer, sometime subsequent to 9/11, obviously, when he was prevented from coming into the U.S. because they just decided.
He was crazy.
Well, that he was a Muslim and... Anyhow, yeah.
Interesting.
Definitely one of the best, you know, male vocalists.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, fantastic. So good. So good. Amazing. Welcome back to hour number two of the KSCO Saturday Special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080, and on the web at KSCO.com. Click Listen Live. Or, now, I shouldn't even tell you this. Should I tell you this? You can listen to us on the web without going to our website. It's listen.kseo.com. But it's much better to go to our website because you'll find all kinds of cool things that change, including the scary 10-minute-long video of Alex Jones talking about what is happening right now as we speak by your government, ladies and gentlemen, to require licenses for websites and government approval for the content of those websites, which exceed that which is practiced in China. I'm not kidding, ladies and gentlemen. When you get a chance, go to KSCO.com. It's right there on the homepage. And our webmaster, Jaunty, put that up yesterday. He's madder than hell, and he's not going to take it anymore. He's going to at least do his part or our part to fill you in on what is going on while most of us are asleep, thinking everything is just cool, except we're going through an extended recession. 479-1080 is the phone number to call if you want to be part of the program today. Or mz@ksco.com is the email address. And I said I'd give you a tease last hour here. White Paper is not happy with me because it says, come on, Michael, with a whole bunch of question marks, not question marks, exclamation points in the subject line. First of all, any kid in Santa Cruz can make a buy in elementary school or high school any day of the week. Have a student call in. Yo, any students out there, please call the Saturday special. We do have a line or two open at 479-1080. Back to the email here from White Paper. Gang and illegals go together like a horse and carriage. And what kind of pretense is this? Illegals and gangs, and your guest has his tongue tied. He is evading, or this is way over his head. I guess he doesn't like it that you're not talking about, you know, illegal aliens. It's sort of like a sore subject or something you'd rather not talk about. Or I don't know what he's alluding to, but that's what it seems like.
Gangs do not equal illegal aliens. I mean, we have American-born gang members here that are just as violent as gang members that are immigrants. We have white gang members.
I guess there are people in our audience who are exasperated that whenever anything involving illegal aliens is mentioned, particularly illegal aliens that go on crime sprees and kill people and hurt people and damage property and so forth, we would rather not talk about that and just rather talk about, and I understand where you're coming from, because you have a task force about gangs, whether they're illegal alien gangs or
illegal, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, got it. So anyhow, at least we read White Paper's email. Here's something from Neil Toland on Sanctuary Cities. I follow all the crime reports for this county on a daily basis. In addition, I hear news reports on your wonderful station. Thank you there, Neil. Almost every single stabbing, shooting, theft, etc., has one very obnoxious... no, it doesn't say obnoxious. It says obvious commonality. The person's name is a name that would be very typical in any one of the countries south of our country's border. And yet, for some reason, possibly because liberalism may be a mental disorder, we do not approach this growing problem, keeping in mind who the vast majority of the criminals tend to be. The police chief and sheriff seem to be more worried about being perceived as open-minded and compassionate instead of protecting the law-abiding citizens. I carry a loaded .45 in my car illegally whenever I am working in Watsonville, Salinas, Greenfield, King City, etc. Sooner or later, me or someone like me is going to be in a position where deadly force may be required to protect ourselves or somebody else. This is a reality, and the people who are in charge of keeping the peace, in quotes, are spending all of their time placating the morons on the city councils and the morons in the press. Kids are being murdered, and the obvious solution is not even being considered. If the way things are being done are not changed, me and scared local citizens like me are going to start taking things into our own hands. Thank you, MZ, and that's from Neil in Scotts Valley. Thank you, Neil. Let's see, Darren Davis through KSCO.com. Michael, Mario will not say two words, and neither will any chief, sheriff, or sheriff-elect. Illegal aliens! The police need to break the code of silence on the fact that they turn their heads to traffic violations by illegals, and code enforcement will not go into their homes to reduce the numbers of people living in one dwelling. Thank you. Okay, thank you, Darren Davis. You can email me directly, mz@ksco.com, or you can go to our ksco.com wonderful website. You should spend a lot of time there. I mean, I'm amazed at all the neat stuff that's there, and there's going to be more and more of this stuff every day. Uh-oh, a follow-up from White Paper. The USA protects growing of poppies and billions of dollars of drug growing and protect borders in the Middle East. Wait a minute, what's wrong with this here? There's a bunch of pictures here that won't show up, so sorry, I can't really understand. Here's something from Vernon, a must-watch. MZ, I just watched the Alex Jones piece on the internet censorship. What a chilling piece. Those that know me know that though not dismissive, I'm prone to be skeptical of the conclusions Alex and others draw from the so-called conspiracy theory data. That's in quotes. In this case, though, everybody needs to watch this piece. And I agree with Vernon. Vernon says, I, for one, posted it on Facebook. I think we all need to do the same. This needs to be so disseminated that it spreads across Facebook like wildfire. This is my humble opinion anyhow. That's from Vernon Cubed, and I could not agree with Vernon more. There is nothing more important that we have ever posted on KSCO.com than this 10-minute video. So please go watch it. In fact, maybe we'll play it. Maybe we'll play the video, the audio portion. Not in this program. There isn't time, but maybe next week maybe we'll do this. But don't wait. Just go to KSCO.com. If you don't have a computer, go to your friend or relative who does have a computer. Birthright citizenship. Okay, I usually don't hijack a thread, but it's cold and snowing in Reno today, and I'm in front of the fireplace. I have very strong feelings about this. Not only don't I think anyone should have automatic citizenship by birth, I think we, and I mean all of us, should have to provide this country something before it deems us worthy, for want of a better word, of citizen status. I've probably picked up a lot of my weird ideas by being influenced by various science fiction writers, most notably Robert Heinlein. His biography is now out of print, volume one anyway, and it is excellent. Well, geez, yeah, there's an awful lot of stuff here from C.L. Dickinson. Oh, you know what? I just read something that wasn't even sent to the radio show. I'm sort of an airhead today. All right. And we got a full board full of people here, so who's the next one? I guess it'd be Wendell. Hey, Wendell, you're on the air.
Yeah, once again, KSCO is to be commended for having this kind of discussion.
Well, thank you. Are you commending us?
I am.
Thank you.
I think instead of the blame game, what we need to do is come up with a constructive alternative for people that are in gangs. And what I'd like to see happen is what I call a GRC, a gang reform center, where people who want to get out of gangs can go and have their tattoos removed, get counseling, and somewhere they can go that offers hope. Because one of the reasons they're joining the gangs in the first place, they get a feeling of belonging. So if they have an alternate place they can go and get that feeling of belonging, you know, maybe it might be just the kind of inspiration that they need to change their life, because I think maybe a lot of them would like to change their life, but they don't know how to get out of it. And people could volunteer, and they could have it under camera surveillance, so that if the gang people want to take, you know, revenge on it, we can find out, you know, who they are.
That sounds like a nice positive suggestion to me, and you're nodding your head, Mario.
No, absolutely. That's part of the broad-based you know, community input that I think is really needed, and, you know, not only needed but, you know, funded by some source, whether it be private sector or
volunteers too.
Volunteerism, absolutely. Community involvement, I think, is key. As I said earlier, law enforcement isn't going to arrest every criminal out there, every gang member out there, and solve the problem.
I don't think they're bad kids. I think they're just under bad influence.
Sure. And, you know, when somebody does come out of a detention center, whether it be county jail or prison, and do want to make that change, you know, it's a tough road. It's not an easy road, and it's very easy for them to fall back into it if they don't have some sort of support or some way that they're going to be able to, as you say, reform.
Yeah, they need a place to go, somewhere they can go physically and get help on a 24/7 basis.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, we would like to thank you, Wendell, for your call to the Saturday special. And our next caller will be JT in Watsonville. Hey, you're on, JT.
Hey, great show, MZ and Mario.
Thank you.
I know it's a little difficult for you, Mario. I'm involved with the post-incident response team, Watsonville Police Department here in Watsonville.
Very good program.
Yes, it is. It's one of the things that aids law enforcement in going out and, I won't say doing an investigation, but just a little, background work and, meeting with the people and letting them know someone is involved. Being in that team, we're briefed on the Serenos and the Norteños, and there are several other subgroups that happen to go on. I know you know this, and you have been kind of evasive in your answers as far as illegal aliens, and I understand that, it's kind of the government call the way things go on. But that being the case, when these young people, and most of them are young people, the ones that live long enough, maybe get to be a little bit old, but if they are arrested and they go into prison, they aren't illegal aliens, they aren't deported, which that's another subject. If you're a citizen of the United States, you should have a particular rights. But anyway, you go into prison, and it is a training camp. It is boot camp. It is indoctrination. You make your choice, or they'll cut you up. And as the caller before me said, when you get out, you're expected to report for duty. Am I wrong?
No, you are not wrong. I mean, there is that aspect to it where, just like in out on the streets, if a person reports to prison, they're going to have to make a choice. Are they going to politic with the overriding gang in the prison there, or are they going to try to stay clear of it and do their time and do what they need to do to get out?
But really,
they do make a choice.
There is no stay clear, Mario, because if you're a Norteño and you go into prison, you're a Norteño. There's no, well, I don't really want to be one this week. I mean, they're gonna work you, if not, and hurt your family on the outside, and that's another subject. You get these young people with parents who are illegal or relatives who are illegal, and they get pressured by maybe a group, well, we're just going to get you sent back, and the kids don't know the difference, and they're just trying to cope. The bottom line is, here's my close, because I know you got a board full, MV. Oh, by the way, Alex Jones is awesome. You have to get the political background, the people who organize the sanctuary city, the people who put the sentences together, for the people who are in gangs. And bottom line, carrying over from the last hour, if you're here illegally, I don't want to pay for you for two more years in prison. I don't want to keep you in there and pay the taxes for that. But if you're going to be here illegally and you're going to go to prison, I say you've got to put two more years on, but our liberal government is not going to do that, and there's just no coverage for that. Anyway, Watson Hill Police Department, wonderful gang force, and a gentleman, I won't say his name because we're on the radio, but he's excellent, and well, it's an honor to serve
with
this
team. You don't want to say something terrible about somebody. If you're praising someone, why not give
him? No. He's in the gang department, and I would rather not blow the cover on the radio.
Sure. Okay, that makes sense. Sorry.
But really, thank you so much for what you do, Mario. It's not an easy job. And your family, the Watsonville Police Department gang members, task force family, all you guys put yourself in danger every day for all of us. And if you have to walk a little bit of a political line, well, that's what you got to do. But God bless you for your risk.
Thank you.
Thanks, JT. Appreciate it. Phil in Santa Cruz, you're next on the Saturday special on KSCO.
Okay, one item. Cat Stevens had donated money to a Muslim terrorist organization. It wasn't just because he was a Muslim.
Okay. Thank you for bringing that up.
Two questions. I heard some first question. I heard some very disturbing things about the police department's not bothering to take evidence that's handed to them in this video case, not bothering to take fingerprints. And also, we have some neighbors who had drug house next to them and endless complaints. Nothing was ever done. I have three explanations. There are probably many more. I'd like to put them out and ask Mario which one he supports. The first one, I want to dismiss right offhand. I don't want to hear about not enough budgets anymore. I'm sick of that. If they come to the house and then don't take the fingerprints, it's not because they didn't have the budget. They came to the house. Now, the next explanation is, a lot of people say, well, the cops are on the take. I hope not. I don't think so. Third explanation, the cops have been conditioned. They work their butts off. They risk their lives. They catch these guys. They have all kinds of evidence. And the court just pats them on the head and lets them go. After a while, they say, why bother? Do you have a different explanation, or do you think one of those is close to the truth?
Well, I mean, if given a fact that that actually occurred, it could be a training. There could be a variety of things. It could be a training issue. Budgets do have a thing in it and resources. But like you said, under this given circumstance, if an officer was there, they should be collecting any evidence that is there of that crime. They are there. They're there for that purpose. They're there to do that investigation as thoroughly as they can at that point. You know, and if that did not occur, me being a former supervisor of a patrol shift, I'd want to know that because I would hold that person accountable. And you bring up a point of condition, you know, whether an officer feels like, why am I going through this trouble if nothing's going to happen? You know, that may be the case in some officers. Maybe that does happen. But again, that is something that, as a supervisor, I always discourage because that's not our job to determine what happens to somebody down the road. Our job is to investigate a crime, find out who's responsible, and then hand them over to the justice system to be dealt with.
That's the one I kind of favor because I know I think the police officers are generally very good people, but I know if I were a police officer, I'd eventually get to that place like, hey, why bother? The courts are going to let him go. My last question is, the people of California did a lot of incredibly stupid things in this last election, but I think one of the most stupid and to me inexplicable, because this is supposed to be a quote-unquote liberal state, is that they voted down the legalization of pot. Now, I'm in the camp now. I wasn't always, but I'm in the camp now that you're not going to beat these drug people. You have to make drugs so cheap that they're worthless. And one way to do that is legalize pot. Why do you think it wasn't legalized, and what's your take on the legalization of drugs and the fighting of violent crime?
I can't speak to the vote, but my position on legalization of drugs is that, you know, I think that's a very simplistic answer when you say that it's going to drop prices and it's going to remove the criminal element and everything else. I don't think that to be true at all. Legalization is not going to result in that. It's going to continue to be the crime element's going to be continued in the drug trade, whether it's legal or not. You know, it's going to be like black market or moonshine whiskey, black market cigarettes, whatever it may be.
But the legalization of alcohol got rid of the moonshine and the black market. If you make something so cheap, there's no money in dealing in it, then how is the crime going to continue?
But that still does occur. They still have illegal alcohol operations going. They still take down loads of
Phil, we need to make this a separate topic. Thanks for your call. Joanne in Santa Cruz, you're on the air on KSCO.
Hi. I'd like to, first of all, thank Philip for calling in and giving that good information about the community getting involved and what he's done to make a difference. My son is Carl Reimer, the 19-year-old boy that was murdered.
I'm sorry.
6 months ago.
Wow.
And I want to thank the radio station for putting this show on and also thank Mario for his hard work and putting his life on the line. Philip's absolutely right. Community involvement is the answer. Budget is not the answer. Budget has nothing to do with our children's lives. Budget. If we got the community involved, now this is my question to you, Mario.
Mm-hmm.
People like Philip that are already involved, people like Mother Grizzlies Against Gangs that are already involved, all the different organizations involved in making our community better. There's a lot of volunteers out there, a lot of very smart people, and there's a lot of money out there. And why don't you get someone from the community to put a website up to make a difference with this? Do like what Philip's doing. And it won't take a budget. We want a long-term solution. We want our homes back. We want our streets back. And, you know, we could get volunteers to do this, maintain it, you know, keep an eye on Facebook, YouTube. There was a YouTube out there that the Santa Cruz PD was not aware of 6 months after Tyler got killed, when my son got killed. Penny, Tyler's mother, came with me to the Santa Cruz PD. And we asked, how come you guys don't know about this YouTube? It was a hit list. The gangbangers, this is how stupid they are, like Philip said. It had a hit list of people they're going to get. It had a hit list of people they got. They had Tyler's picture on it.
Oh, my God.
With a big X on it that said, rest in piss. And Santa Cruz PD didn't know about this. Now, this isn't rocket science. We all know that the Internet is the future. And is here. And there's a lot of resources and information. Please, Mario, tell me that you guys are going to do this.
Well, there's a couple of issues you bring up. I think volunteerism is a great start, because I think, you know, volunteerism like Grizzlies Against, or Mothers Against Gangs, and stuff like that bring awareness and can help with the education portion of it. But a lot of the other issues that, you know, involve gang involvement, you know, need professional care, like psychological counseling and, you know, maybe even tattoo removals and stuff like that, need some sort of funding. And again, that's, you know, that's beyond my means, but can the private sector kick into that? Can we get other, you know, like community clubs involved in funding some of that stuff?
Other Grizzlies Against Gangs will bring money in if you'll accept it and do make the website.
Yeah, I mean, I think that...
And so, can we do this?
Make a website for the gang task force, or just an educational type website?
Make a website for educating, showing the hot gang activity spots. Educating, do you know that it wasn't that long ago that I thought a gangbanger was a group of men that raped a woman? See, I'm mm-hmm. young. I'm only 48.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do not know what's going on out there. We don't get involved unless our kids get killed or beat up.
You know, if you're offering to create some sort of website,
I'm offering to fund it. I'm asking people out in our community.
I would like to talk to you about that. Maybe
call in. Let's get this rolling.
Is there a way I could get contact information?
MotherGrizzliesAgainstGangs.com.
Say that again.
MotherGrizzliesAgainstGangs.com.
MotherGrizzliesAgainstGangs.com. Z-Z-L-E-Y, or is it L-E-I, what is it? How do you spell
Grizzlies? L-E-I-S.
L-E-L-I-E-S.
Mm-hmm.
MotherGrizzliesAgainstGangs.com.
And we will do 3-1-2-4-7-3-2-4-4.
3-2-4-4. Joanne, I'm so sorry what happened to you. I'm overcome, but I want to thank you for calling this program, and I want to offer for KSCO to get behind you. If you want to come down here and record a PSA that we'll play.
Absolutely.
A lot.
Yes, happy to.
Where you can give out that organization a web address,
mm-hmm.
and the 247-3244 phone number. We want to get behind you and do everything we can to help you raise funds to do what really needs to be done, and it's not all that expensive. I don't think a whole lot of funds need to be. I could be wrong, but I don't think so.
No, it's not that expensive.
It's just not that big a deal. So we want to get behind you, and if you call us on Monday or Tuesday, you know, during business hours, and just make arrangements with Bill in our production department to come on down here and record this. We'll run it all over the radio station and on the web.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. Let's see. It's 11:55. We have two or three more people on. We got a commercial break. Let's do the commercial break, and we'll be back.
It's time to unravel the mysteries of health coverage with Pamela Fugit-Hetrick of DCD Financial and Insurance Services, an authorized independent agent for Anthem Blue Cross.
Health coverage plans are a lot like cable TV options. The least expensive plans give you the basic coverage. The most expensive plans give you all the bells and whistles. If you don't like paying for all the bells and whistles, consider a health savings account eligible plan, or HSA. HSA premiums can be up to 50% less, and the HSA account provides a federal tax-free way to save for future health expenses. Use the power of my experience as a health insurance professional. We'll talk over the quotes and make sure that you choose the best coverage at the most affordable rates.
Unravel the mysteries of your health coverage with Pamela Fugit-Hetrick of DCD Financial and Insurance Services. Go to healthexchangeforall.com for a free quote and then give Pamela a call. That's healthexchangeforall.com.
California Insurance License 0D75558. Anthem Blue Cross is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross Association.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangerl. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Ever seen a CalStar helicopter flying to or from an accident scene? Ever wondered about the service? Hi, I'm Bill Graff. Recently, my wife needed a CalStar air ambulance following a car accident. I learned that CalStar is called when emergency responders think you need to get to a hospital in a hurry. While we hope you never need to fly with CalStar, we understand the financial ramifications of an air ambulance transport. Even insured patients may be left with thousands of dollars in out-of-pocket expenses. CalStar offers an affordable answer. It's the CalStar membership program. They even work with members' insurance providers, if they have coverage, to secure payment for their air medical services and then waive any remaining balance due. CalStar memberships are available to anyone, even if you're uninsured. CalStar made sure my wife got to a local trauma center in minutes. And she's okay. Find out more about the CalStar membership program. Call 888-207-LIFE or online at calstar.org.
Okay, we're in the closing 2 minutes. Let's see, Rory in Watsonville. You're on the air, Rory.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, and I appreciate the work that the DA's office is doing.
I got to get to the point real quick because there's only 30 seconds left.
10-4, until we deal with the borders and the birthright legalization of children born of illegals, this problem's only going to metastasize and get worse. It has not gotten better. That's my point. Pound on your congressman. We've got to do something about the border of this thing. It's just going to keep going. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Is it Joe? Or is this the second time you're on?
Well, you've got Team Challenge Monterey Bay in Pajaro Men's Center and the Freedom Women's Center. That will help to rehabilitate gangs. Those who can be rehabilitated, shot callers, must be executed.
Okay, there we go. That's it, gang. Thank you, Mario. Thank you, Nikki. This program will be rebroadcast tonight between 10 p.m. and midnight or on demand at KSCO.com.
That's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It is 12 noon. Here is Fox News. Or there it is somewhere. It will be coming up. I thought I'd run into it. There we go.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. President Obama heading home from the NATO summit in Portugal. At the summit, NATO and Russian leaders agreed to work more closely together, from Afghanistan to missile defense.
Russia's president offering to help ship NATO hardware to Afghanistan and to give the Afghans helicopters and maintenance training. NATO, meanwhile, inviting Russia to take part in missile defense against a threat that's best countered together, said NATO Secretary General here in Lisbon. It's not the first time a Russian leader has taken part in NATO's annual summit. But the agreements today complete the reset in relations, says one U.S. presidential advisor. In Lisbon, Portugal, Alistair Wanklin, Fox News Radio.
There's been a cornucopia of complaints over the new screening methods at the nation's airports. If you don't want to go through the full-body scanners, which allow TSA screeners to see under your clothes, you have to undergo a hand search that is more aggressive than in times past. President Obama, speaking from the NATO summit, says he hears the complaints, but...
Our TSA personnel are... properly under enormous pressure to make sure that you don't have somebody slipping on a plane with some sort of explosive device on their person.
There's an internet movement for opt-out day where travelers would gum up the security lines by refusing a body scan. Pope Benedict, in a book to be released next week, is quoted as saying it's okay for condoms to be used in some cases, like to stem the spread of disease. That's not something the Vatican has ever allowed.
Some excerpts coming out of the Pope's book, officially to be released next week. It's a long interview with a German journalist. And he of course, does talk to him about the AIDS crisis, long debated the use of condoms in the Catholic Church. Now, the Pope gave some possibility of a moral use.
Fox's Greg Burke reporting the Pope specifically used the example of male prostitutes as people who could use condoms. You're listening to Fox News Radio, Fair and Balanced.
Stay connected to Fox News Radio for your favorite talk shows, newscasts on the hour and half hour, and the podcasts that take you a step deeper inside of Fox News. Don't miss a single minute of Your World with Neil Cavuto daily by subscribing to the Daily Podcast.
I'm Neil Cavuto.
Get news and insight on Wall Street and other market activities, and get a wrap-up of the business news of the day.
Don't tell me about federal programs that stick to their budget. They don't.
It's Cavuto, when you want it, and where you want it. Subscribe now by going to foxnewsradio.com and click on the podcast button for Your World with Neil Cavuto. And check out other Fox News Radio podcasts, including John Gibson's My Word.
Hi, I'm John Gibson. You can get My Word every day for no holds barred opinion on the big stories of the day. Gibson, when and where you want at foxnewsradio.com. Just click on the podcast button.
A coroner's report from Ohio regarding that family that went missing and was found earlier this week. The bodies of mother Tina Herman, 10-year-old Cody Maynard, and family friend Stephanie Sprang were stabbed multiple times, dismembered, and stuffed into trash bags before being stuffed into a hollow tree. Herman's 13-year-old daughter was found bound and gagged in the cellar of an unemployed landscaper's home. Investigators say that man gave them the information that led to the terrible discovery. A tax fight in the lame duck Congress over extending Bush-era tax cuts.
Specifically, they're talking about families making over $250,000. Democrats do not want to extend the tax cuts to those people. And Democrats argue that the government, which is deeply in debt, needs the money from taxes on the wealthy. And Democrats say they're open to two votes on extending the tax cuts.
That's Fox's Molly Hennenberg reporting. Republicans want to extend the tax cuts for the wealthy. The Young Wizard, very successful at the box office on his opening day.
Conjuring up its biggest box office magic yet.
I must be the one to kill Harry Potter.
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 makes a killing, breaking the franchise record Friday, raking in $61 million, its biggest one-day draw. It's been casting a spell since the